The catechism reading for tonight is found on that last page, 7. We'll read it as it's printed there. The third commandment. What does this mean? Thank you. The scriptures tell us that the finger of God inscribed the commandments on tablets of stone. So far, we've heard how the finger of God, by the first commandment, pierces our hearts, and by the second commandment, purses our lips. This evening, we see how the finger of God, by the third commandment, pricks our hearts. And our ears. And our ears need to be pricked by the law of God, as stated in the third commandment, because we think not hearing the word of God is really no big deal. We tolerate in this commandment what we won't in any of the others. People are always asking for understanding, agreement, outright acceptance for their not hearing the word of God. We, by common agreement, set aside from 9:15 till at the latest 12:45 once a week for the hearing of the word. Yet family, friends, activities, sleep are accepted as reasons for not hearing the word. We don't accept any of these as reasons for not honoring authorities or for hurting or harming our neighbor or for committing adultery. Jesus warned us about this. He told the parable of the great banquet where people were invited to a feast, they accepted the invitation, and then they gave excuses for not coming. They start out like many of you do. They ask to be excused. Please excuse me, I bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me, I brought new oxen and I must go try them. What do you think I should say to the person who tried to excuse other sins? Please excuse me, my spouse and I haven't been getting along and I must commit adultery. Please excuse me, my money is a little tight and I must steal to make it. You would be horrified, rightly so, if I accepted such excuses, yet you do expect me to accept excuses for not hearing the word of God. And I warn you, as that parable Jesus told does, people go from being bothered enough to ask to be excused to believing they need none. I just can't come. Hey, won't be there. If this is you, if you believe you can pick and choose when you hear the word of God, know this, you aren't a member. You're a visitor. Visitors are people who come when they feel like it. People not on my rolls owe me no explanation for not hearing the word. Members, that's different. As I am required to tell them each and every Sunday I won't be here, so they are required to tell me. But of course, most don't. You hear God's word when and where you feel like it. God would, by the third commandment, stick his finger into your ear because not hearing the word, not learning the word, not holding preaching and God's word sacred, that's the most serious sin you can commit. It's a sin against the cure for all other sins. But you don't think so. That's how it is when people lose their hearing. They lose it gradually. People go from every Sunday service, a weekly Bible class, a midweek service, to Sunday service, then to every other week, and then finally to when they feel like it. They go from letting me know when they miss, to making excuses for missing, to not attending, and to not attending and feeling no need even to excuse themselves. I know what you're thinking. We're the ones, the few at a midweek seer service, we're the ones who came out on a nasty night. We don't need to hear this. I'm telling you this because it's not too late for you. By preaching and his word, whether oral, written, with water, or in bread and wine, those are the only way God wills to deal with sinners. When you start cutting yourself off from the word, you start to go deaf. Now, most people think they'd rather be deaf than blind, but going deaf is far worse. It cuts you off totally from your surroundings. When you can start finding reasons, excuses for not hearing the word, calluses are already growing in your ears. When you hear what and when you feel like it, you're almost stone deaf and completely cut off from God. Now, there I've done it. I've gone and made you man. Now that's how it should be. The law of God works wrath if it's listened to. The person who is not pricked by the third commandment is a long way to being lost. You are pricked and you're mad. What's the big deal? You're not hurting your neighbor. You're not guilty of sexual sins. You don't steal or tell lies about your neighbor. You just have trouble making it to church sometimes. You just not used to using an extra hour, a whole hour, each week to hear the word in Bible class. Well, let me warn you, you're going to adjust your way right to deafness. You're going to adjust your way right into cutting yourself off from God. You need to go back to the Sabbath day to see the real wickedness of sins against God's word. The Sabbath day was the seventh day in the week set aside by God for his Old Testament church. He commanded that they do no work on that day. Anyone who did was to be put to death. In Numbers 15, we find a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. This is what the Lord said about that. The Lord said to Moses, "The man shall surely be put to death," and they stoned him with stones, and he died. What's the big deal about picking up a few sticks? What's the big deal about picking and choosing when, where, if you hear God's word? God provided a day of physical rest for the Old Testament church. What a glorious gift that was. They didn't have to work 7 days in a row to provide for their families. They could have a whole day of physical rest without fear they would be harming their families. The physical rest of the Old Testament points to the spiritual rest that Jesus would bring to sinners. As the Old Testament church rested in God providing, so we can rest in God in Christ providing for us. The man who picked up the sticks on the Sabbath was saying either he didn't trust God to provide, or he's free to ignore God's commands. And that's the same thing the person does who doesn't gladly hear and learn God's word. Either he doesn't regard God's word in a man's mouth as God's way of providing for his spiritual needs, or he believes he's free to ignore God's command to hear. Either way, he's calling to God for judgment. Don't you hate it when your ears get filled up with fluid, either from a sickness or from swimming? Everything sounds muffled. It's bad. If it's bad enough, you feel off kilter. You feel out of it when you're around others. So it is when our ears are filled with excuses, reasons, justifications for not hearing God's word. We feel funny. We feel strange. We feel off balance around God. Now, all the third commandment can do in this condition is show us our deafness, show us our thick calluses, and it can show us the judgment God decrees against those who despise his word. And a despiser is what you are if you don't hold preaching and his word sacred and gladly hear and learn. Now that's a tall order. To hold sacred means to consider it a thing holy or blessed. Now you can probably think of your Bible that way, holy, blessed. But my preaching, it will take a miracle for that to happen. A command of the law is not a miracle. The gospel, well, that's a miracle. And the gospel is God the Son, the Word of God, takes on flesh and blood. The law of God was originally written clearly in our hearts, but we became deaf to it through sin. Rather than considering God's word a blessing, we considered it a burden, an obligation. Hearing his word was something we did for him, not he for us. So we sinners turned a deaf ear to God, or only heard as much of it as we wanted. So the word became flesh in Mary's womb. The word took on all the requirements of God's laws and kept them. He, the holy God, held the word and even preaching sacred and gladly heard and learned it. See, in the scriptures, all the time, the Holy Son of God goes to church. He never gives excuses not to. He never thought he could only go when he felt like it. Yet what happened to him? The Bible says in Proverbs 1 and Zechariah 7 that the person who does not hear God's word will not be heard by God. So God turned a deaf ear to Jesus on the cross. God forsook him in his hellish agony. Not because Jesus despised God's word, but because you and I do. In Jesus, the Word made flesh, all the commandments are kept. None of them hang over your head. And in him, all the punishments required by the commandments have been carried out to God's satisfaction. So now the Word made flesh is on your side. And he's powerful and he's active. Jesus spoke to the dead and they lived. Though they were stone cold dead, no blood surging through their eardrums to carry the message to the brain, Jesus spoke to the dead and they lived. Jesus spoke to demons and they heard and they obeyed. Though demons care nothing about hearing the word, let alone learning it, when the word made flesh spoke, they heard it and obeyed. That same word made flesh is powerful and active today. He makes water able to regenerate. He makes words able to forgive. And he makes bread his body and wine his blood. With these miracles, God the Word is able to prick open these calloused ears. No longer do we hear God's Word as obligation and debt, but as gift and grace. Paul in Romans 10 talks about this change. He refers to the Word that is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. And the word is near you. It's in sermons and hymns, in the water and the blood. And that's the answer to feeling isolated from God. The word made flesh, the word made writing, and the word made bread is how God bridges the gaps between us and him. God never ever wills to cut off communication with us. He always speaks to us in words and sacraments. Now at this point, many people stumble. The Holy God wills to keep in contact with sinners through his Son. He speaks to them in word and sacrament, and they speak back to him in prayer. Well, no sooner does the sinner start listening to God than the devil points out what a wretched sinner he still is. A lot of good doing, hearing the word of God does you, says the devil. You're worse now than where you were when you weren't listening. Give up and give in. You'll never hold his word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. You're at the brink of despair because the devil is partly right. You remain a sinner. You cannot hear God's word as you should. But don't give up. Hebrews 4 describes the word of God as living and active, able to divide what you cannot. You can't divide your sinful nature from your new sinless nature created by Jesus. God's word can and does. In, with, and under God's word, you can too. Your baptism shows you your dead, deaf, sinful nature, and it shows you your new sinless nature alive and hearing. The absolving word separates you from your sins as far as the east is from the west. The word made bread and wine is odious poison to your sinful nature, but it's life and salvation to your new. Ever notice how many times Jesus says in the New Testament, let him who has ears hear? That's gospel. God's word is for everyone who has ears. That's who the incarnate word, the inscripturated word is for. That is who the incarnate word, the inscripturated word is for every Sunday, every Bible class, every absolution, every baptism, every communion. The word is here for all who have ears. Amen.